My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and this is Hemp Present. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. Grace Hyde is the Director of Commercial Operations for District Cannabis, a thriving cultivator providing premium flower to the Washington, D.C. and Maryland markets. By the end of 2024, District Cannabis will be vertically integrated in both cases. Grace oversees innovation across the company, with the most recent launches including two new pre-roll lines, a brand refresh, new hydrocarbon product lines, and the development of a novel cannabinoid line of edibles. In addition, she's responsible for government relations in Washington, D.C. and operational oversight in the D.C. cultivation facility. She previously held management positions in wholesale and retail cannabis operations in D.C. and Rhode Island. Grace received a Bachelor of Science in Sustainable Agriculture from the University of Rhode Island and a professional certificate in cannabis science and medicine from the University of Vermont. I have invited her here to join me today to tell us about her important work. Welcome, Grace, to Cannabis Radio.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Maybe begin by having you just describe District Cannabis. What kind of operation do you have?
Sure. So we consider ourselves regional operators. So we are in both the district and Maryland. In Washington, D.C., we have a cultivation and manufacturing co-located building. It's about 12,000 square feet. And then we also have a retail operation right near Union Market. So a great spot there in the city. And then in Maryland, we have cultivation and manufacturing in their own sites. And we have retail opening in December. Our cultivation is a combination of both the traditional indoor grow. We also have a large greenhouse, which is about 45,000 square feet. So really exciting space with cultivation. We have a lot of automation, AI, you know, big kind of industrial agricultural stuff that we've learned from our partners in Holland. And then we just opened up our processing facility where we'll be running ethanol, butane, and solventless extraction lines over here. That's where I'm coming to you from today.
Wow, you folks aren't messing around. How long has District Cannabis been around?
So the first facility opened in 2016. So the first facility opened in 2016. That was our cultivation site in Washington, D.C. And then we brought our cultivation in Maryland online in 2019. And then in the last year, we've brought online both the retail in D.C. and manufacturing in Maryland. And we'll be adding the retail in Maryland this year. So three additional sites in about 18 months time span.
Wow, that's pretty exciting. Grace, because cannabis remains federally illegal, every state where retail sales and cultivation are allowed, they kind of have their own separate regulatory model. What's the system like in D.C.? Are your stores technically medical dispensaries or retail cannabis stores? And what are you allowed to sell?
So in the district, it is a medical-only market at this point still. So the people of the district voted to legalize personal possession of cannabis almost a decade ago, but there is a congressional rider on the appropriations bill that comes out of Congress every year that prevents the district from using any tax dollars to implement a tax-regulated adult-use cannabis program. So we've been in this kind of weird limbo space where the people have very clearly wanted to have an adult-use program, and leadership for the city wants an adult-use program, but Congress will not let us. So we are a medical-only program currently in the district. It is probably the most open medical program there is. You don't need to see a doctor. You can self-certify that you are using cannabis for medical purposes and get a card in less than 5 minutes. If you're a district resident, it's free. So it's 5 minutes of work for $0, and you get a card that lasts for 6 years. So it's very accessible. Obviously not as accessible as a true adult use program, but, you know, as close as we're going to get. Then Maryland, we went recreational July 1st of 2023. So we're a little over a year into our adult use program here.
Grace, District Cannabis suggests in its promotional materials that since its inception, the company's mission has been to enhance the quality of life for its customers. How do you think that District Cannabis enhances the quality of life?
Yes. So one of our owners who passed away a few years ago, Ed Weidenfeld. His mission to start this company was to enhance quality of life for patients, including himself. He had Parkinson's and found great relief through cannabis. So since day one, we've, you know, looking at things like reducing your inputs in cultivation and manufacturing, like not using traditional pesticides and herbicides and things like that. On the manufacturing end of things, we try and offer a wide variety of products. We have a very robust CBD line at our Washington, D.C. store. We also produce some kind of unusual products that you see in not in all marketplaces, like things like suppositories that are really, you know, kind of specific use. So we try and, you know, keep some of these more niche products on shelves so that way a patient, you know, with a variety of illnesses or who may not want to consume via traditional route of smoking or an edible can find something that can work for them and work with their lifestyle. Since everybody prefers to consume cannabis so differently.
You know, I actually had Ed Weidenfeld on my show in the early days of my show, and I'm really sorry to hear about his passing.
It lasted a long time. He fought a good fight.
Wow, what a great guy. We're going to take our first break and come back with our second segment with Grace Hyde.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We're back with Grace Hyde from District Cannabis. Grace, you co-chair the Regulated Cannabis Association of D.C. Among the issues that the association is focusing on is close to 100 unregulated operators selling cannabis from storefronts, like sanctioned cannabis retail stores, but without the safety and quality requirements or the costly regulatory overhead that legally licensed and regulated cannabis businesses operate under. How difficult is it for legit cannabis businesses to compete with these illicit retailers who can afford to sell large discounts? Is there anything being done to force them to either comply with state laws or stop operating altogether?
Well, this is a very timely question because that enforcement has actually just begun. We have been asking for this to happen for years. It's been extremely difficult for all of the legal operators in the district market to compete against. At one point, it was counted at over 200 illegal stores. And one clarification I like to make, because these stores are often referred to as illicit, but illicit doesn't actually mean illegal. It just means socially frowned upon. And what these stores do is illegal. It is not legal under any definition of I-71 or the laws of the district. So yeah, it's been very difficult for all the existing stores who purchase from within the district, you know, from district cultivators. We're paying our taxes, all of them, including our 280E taxes. There's a lot of, you know, we have to undergo inspections. There's different rules we have to follow. We can only make certain products. We have, you know, strict labeling requirements. We have a third party lab that's open now. So you have the burden of, you know, paying for lab testing. And these stores have operated without any, enforcement now for close to a decade. But starting the beginning of this past September, enforcement has finally started. So we've seen 10 stores close to date, which is not enough, but it's a start. So we hope to see the market dynamic start to shift a bit. September was one of the worst months in the last 4 years of sales in the district. So things are just really not good right now. You know, compounding with Maryland going recreational, the district businesses are just really suffering. So the time is now for these stores to get shut down and convert. They have been given a pathway to become a legal medical store, and some of them have taken that opportunity and many have not. So, but, you know, come this spring, I think we will see a lot more stores in the district marketplace based on some of those people transitioning. But we hope to see, you know, a really robust enforcement effort through the rest of this year and into next spring, because it is going to take a while for them to get all of these stores closed. And, you know, more people are opening every day. That's how little fear of enforcement there has been, that new stores are opening, not even just the ones that were previously existing. So, you know, the efforts are ramping up a little bit. They closed 3 last week. But we need to, you know, really see that continue in full force, and especially with the safety risks that they're uncovering. Majority of these stores, they're seizing product and it's testing positive for amphetamines. They're finding unregistered firearms at these locations. They're finding, you know, other, like one location they recovered a product that tested positive for opium. They're, you know, it's a completely unregulated kind of unregulated industry out there on the unlicensed side of these cannabis stores.
Where are they getting their supply? Are they on the black market, or can they buy from legit cultivation operations?
So you cannot purchase from a registered, a licensed cultivation operation unless you have a legal dispensary license in the district, which none of these places have. And despite having been allowed to operate for so long, they do not have the appropriate licensure. So their products coming from California, Washington, Oregon, Maine. We're seeing some stuff coming in from Michigan, coming from, you know, all of these unlimited licensed states that have a huge supply abundance, and they can't move it all through their own store, so they're shipping it east to Washington, D.C. and New York.
Wow. But
New York has, you know, really taken a lot of efforts in this last year as well to curb their illegal store problem. So we hope to see the same rebound in our legal market that New York has seen.
Obviously, they're not testing for anything, right? What kind of quality assurance oversight is required in your operations in your state? You have to test for mold or metals or anything like that?
So we, our third-party lab just opened up in August. So it's the first third-party lab in the district. So very exciting. We've been buying this for a long time. The market has just been so small to date that they haven't, this, they had done three rounds of applications for labs. So this is the first time somebody actually wanted to commit. Because they could see that the market was about to grow. So we are phasing in testing right now. Everyone's testing for cannabinoids, terpenes, residual solvents, molds, mycotoxins, that run of things, and then starting with spring.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We'll start to see heavy metals and pesticide testing.
Very good. Very good. What other kind of things is the Regulated Cannabis Association of DC working on these days?
So one of our big focuses is on educating new dispensary owners, those who are transitioning into the market. There's a lot, you know, there's no how-to book anywhere. So there's a lot you can learn from other licensees who have either, you know, been in the market for a long time or just recently joining. The regulations are changing quickly. We have a great regulator, APCA. We transitioned to APCA. We used to be under Department of Health, and they are really willing to be flexible and creative and do what we need to do for this market to survive. But as a result, that means the regulations, you know, can change rapidly. So it's good to have a group together to kind of help sift through those changing regulations and make sure that everybody's staying on top of things. So focusing on enforcement has been, you know, one of our main priorities, and then just educating each other, staying up to date on everything that's happening. We're a smaller group. So, you know, not as powerful as some big trade associations in other states, but we will get there one day. Hopefully this time next year, you know, we have a market that has tripled the number of operators, and we'll be doing big things.
Wow. Well, Grace, here in Washington State, cannabis businesses are provided agency oversight and enforcement by the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board. You just mentioned ABCA. I think that stands for Alcoholic Beverage and Cannabis Administration.
Yes.
In both instances, it sounds as if cannabis enforcement was folded into the pre-existing state alcohol enforcement entities. I think you mentioned the Department of Health used to oversee cannabis. Do you think that's a good fit with ABCA?
I do. The fit with Department of Health wasn't quite right because they don't really work. They're not business focused, whereas ABCA, you know, the success of their agency is based on the success of the businesses that they're regulating, because they're a self-funded industry. So they're really motivated to help the businesses they regulate, and obviously want to make sure that everyone's following the rules and doing things safely. But, you know, ensuring our success is one of their biggest priorities. So it has felt like a good fit to us thus far.
You know, APCA, of course, was the Alcoholic Beverage Administration before they added cannabis, I assume. You know, the alcohol industry, you can imagine if the alcohol industry was only, was limited to state lines, right? It'd be a radically different industry. How important do you think it is that we get federal legalization so that there could be a national industry that can operate within state lines? I mean, how much is it a challenge in this current model for you?
So obviously participating in limited license states, nationwide legalization is not necessarily something that we want to see imminently. For our retail, that could be great, but you know, we've invested a lot of money in local cultivation centers that
right.
will not be able to compete with the prices that you'll see from gigantic grows on the West Coast and in the Midwest. I do think that we are very far away from that happening still. So
yeah,
it's necessarily, you know, been top of mind for us. But it's not something that, you know, we're looking to or hoping to see happen.
Understood.
It's not on the investments that we've made locally.
We got about a minute till the next break. What about the possibility of potential Schedule 3 change? How do you feel with that?
We would love to see that. I mean, obviously, we need more research on all things related to cannabis and the potential changes with the tax code. It would just be, you know, so amazing for...
Yeah, you could start like having regular deductions, right? Extensive deductions and maybe...
75%, you know, tax liability to 25 like a normal business.
Get rid of the 280E restrictions, right?
Exactly.
Wow. All right. I'm talking to Grace Hyde from District Cannabis. And we're going to take a quick break so we can both clear our throats a little bit and come right back with our last segment.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
All right. It's the third segment with Grace Hyde from District Cannabis. Grace, for the benefit of anyone who might be listening from the District of Columbia or Maryland, please describe some of your favorite items in the District Cannabis product line. What kind of things can customers enjoy from your shelves?
Absolutely. So in the district, our most popular and one of my favorite products is our gummy line. We use a natural fruit puree instead of artificial flavoring. So the gummies have a really delicious natural fruit flavor. They're not very high in sugar. They're delicious. And we have almost 10 flavors out at this point in time. We have them available in different THC ratios. We also recently introduced CBN and CBG varieties. So we've got just a lot of really delicious options to purchase in the district. And in Maryland, some of my favorite products are making in Maryland are our new concentrates that we've started putting out. We've got some really tasty live resin sugars and batters coming out of our processing facility. In particular, one of our strains, Cherry Limeade Cake, makes just really delicious concentrates. So definitely be sure to look for those in the marketplace. They're releasing into stores as we speak, just in the last few weeks. So new product out in the market that we're really excited about.
Nice, nice. If we could get personal for a minute, one of the questions I like to ask my guests is, how and when were you personally introduced to cannabis? Was it something that you were culturally connected with, or was it a process of discovery?
Worse. So I was connected with cannabis first, you know, in high school with my friends, like most people are, but I wasn't, you know, really a consistent cannabis user until I was in college a little bit more. And then I got into the cannabis industry and at that point became, you know, much more consistent user than I was back in school, which probably was a good thing for my grades. My real use until after graduating college.
Yeah, there's a time and place. Everything, you know, balance, right?
Right. I'm definitely more of a fall asleep on the couch consumer than get motivated and clean your house consumer. So I don't think that would have worked out well for me.
Man, when I was young, you know, I could like get up at 7 a.m. and by 8 I could be imbibing and then hit the day and be really, really productive and functional and stuff. And if I tried that now, I'd be in bed by 9 o'clock again and it'd be over. So I had some kind of biological change.
You got more tired. I find that cannabis just reveals how you're feeling underneath. So if you are tired and baseline like I am all the time.
Right. Right. what do you think sets District Cannabis apart from the other cannabis businesses in your region? And in your opinion, what makes District Cannabis special?
Makes District Cannabis special. So I would say one big thing that sets us apart is just the years of experience that we have across leaders in the company. We in cannabis specific knowledge. One of our co-owners, you know, he's been a grower for 25 years, which is pretty rare to find at the ownership level of most cannabis companies. And at the management level, you know, we just have decades of experience across all of our facilities from different markets. We have people from Michigan, California, you know, all different places across the company or across the country that have seen, you know, different regulatory schemes and different phases of legalization across the country. So I think that is one big benefit, is to have consumers of cannabis being in charge of deciding what strains we grow, how we grow them, what products we make, you know, really having that consumer mindset with producing products, which I think is something that can really be missing from, you know, some of these bigger MSOs, as they come into it with just like a CPG mindset that they're going to make, you know, the same consistent product over and over again, but that might not be the product that's most appealing to a cannabis consumer. So keeping cannabis consumers on staff, I think, is one big thing that sets us apart for sure. And then another thing that sets us apart is just we just have a very high standard for excellence within our company. It's one of our core values and something that we strive for every day. We know that excellence is hard to achieve, and we will not stop until we get as close to it as possible. Perfection is unattainable, and every day we strive to be more and more perfect in what we do. So just an unwavering pursuit of perfection and standards of excellence, I think, is
nice. You mentioned that you're an MSO, and that's multi-state operators, right?
We consider ourselves regional operators. We're only in 2 states. We don't plan to go anywhere else.
Got it.
And the district isn't even a state, so technically.
Right, right. Good point. Yeah,
we're a state and a district. So we consider ourselves regional operators. We're small. We're local. We are from the region. You know, our ownership and management are, you know, we live here. We work here. It's, you know. We're all local people.
Great. In 30 seconds, is there anything that you'd like to add, or what final thoughts would you like to leave us with?
My final thoughts would be, come check out our retail stores. Our district store is right by Union Market. So it's a great part of the city. It's the number 2 most requested Uber destination in the city. And our store in Maryland is opening in Hagerstown, Maryland, which is like very northwest and accessible from Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia. Huge patient population here. It's going to be a great store. Really unique customer experience. Efficiency is our number 1 priority to get you in and out quickly, so you're not waiting in lines excessively. You can just get your products, which is what you're there for. So I would say come shop at our stores, because we hope to provide you a different, better dispensary experience than you probably experienced in the past.
Grace Hyde of District Cannabis, found at districtcannabis.us. Thank you so much for talking with me today. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. The Hamperzen intro music is 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Rand, and the outro music is Take Back the Plant by Stickerbush. And we'll see you next time, folks. Stay strong and stand up for democracy. Marijuana!